Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guests are red hot for the Messiah. Clarice and Ronnie Holden, I'm speaking to them by way of telephone at their home in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Ronnie, you were addicted to drugs and alcohol. You had a restaurant business, and things were really in trouble. Why did you decide to go finally to a rehabilitation center?
Well, basically because I knew I was going to die. I had tried so many things to get off of the cocaine. I took Valium, Halcyon to try to sleep at night. I drank constantly. And I had tried to stop so many times.
Were you a Christian?
No, I wasn't.
Why not?
Well, that's the farthest thing from my mind. I thought I was really a strong person. And the people who went to church, I thought they were weak, and the church was a crush to them.
Well, your wife was a Christian, though. Didn't that mean something to you?
And, you know, I made fun of her going to church. She went to a non-denominational church.
Clarice, did you have any faith that your husband one day would get off of drugs and be red hot for Jesus? Did you believe for that?
I certainly did, Sid. I hung on to that faith that one day that our home will be whole.
And you told me you even had a prophecy that you hung on to. What was that prophecy?
This guy gave me a word. He said, the last 3 years has been really bad, but the next 3 years is going to be a living hell. And I just...
Hey, Vey, who would want a word like that?
But your husband will be on his deathbed. He will be alone, and he will have a divine visitation from God, and your house will be saved.
My goodness, the presence of God is on you just repeating that prophecy. Okay, Ronnie, you reached your wit's end. You're suicidal. You determine you're going to go into a rehab program. What happened next?
I went into rehab, and it took over 2 weeks for the treatment to get me off of cocaine and the prescription drugs I was taking. I've had DT.
Now, I've never been on drugs, fortunately, but I understand it's really hard to get off of cocaine.
It's hard to get all of it, and it's something you can't do on your own. You know, even rehabs, they help people, and people that don't have God, if God doesn't deliver them, it's a struggle for them all their life. You know, and fortunately, you know, I got down on my knees one night. I had started going to AA while I was at rehab, and I started.
But you weren't a Christian. What were you doing on your knees?
Well, I had come to the end of my rope, and I thought, well, let me try this. I've tried everything else. I bought all these books of religion on Zen. I had been to so many places, tried to change my life. I had made changes in what I did, my routine, thinking that, well, somehow I won't go out. I won't get up with these people. I won't go do drugs tonight. And I still did. I would take Valium and different medicines to try to put me to bed so I would sleep and not go anywhere. And I got where I would get up and wouldn't even be aware of it and put my clothes on and leave home and wake up 2 or 3 days later somewhere else. I didn't know what to do, didn't know which way to turn. And one night I had been gone 2 or 3 days, and I remember the sun coming up. And I felt so bad. So I've got to go home and face my wife. And I had no idea what to do. I said, no, I'm just going to kill myself. There's no way out of this. I'll never get off of this. And I had seen this sign for his rehab one time. And it just came in my mind. I went home, and after a long discussion with my wife, I decided I would go to rehab because I knew I had a problem. And so I went there, and then, you know, after a couple of weeks of them trying to get me off the drugs, my mind was clear enough to start going to meetings, to AA and Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And start talking about a higher power. You know, I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, that's not a far stretch. You know, there's somebody smarter than I am. I'm the dumbest person in the world. I thought I was the strongest, but I've destroyed my life. I could be so far ahead of what I am now. And now, you know, I'm ready to kill myself. And so I got down on my knees and I said, God, if you're real, I'm going to die. You're the only hope I have. I've tried everything else. If you're real, I've got to have some help. But you've got to show me something. I just can't go on the word of what people tell me or what I read. I've got to see something real and know that you're real in my life. And I prayed like for 3 days and nights, off and on, that same prayer. And it's February the 17th. It was one night. I woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not really sure how it happened. I remember looking up, and the whole room was completely white, like clouds were in the room. And this person was standing over the bed. And to me, he looked like, when I was a little boy, you know, I saw pictures of Jesus. He had his robe on. He had like a blue robe with a white belt tied around him. He had his hands was sticking out towards me. And he just looked at me. And then it was over with. And I apparently went back to sleep for an hour or two, and I woke up. I didn't know what was going on. I went outside, and I went went through the door. I saw a tree, and it's like I'd never seen anything before. The trees looked different. Everything looked different around me. And I started thinking about cocaine, about drugs. And I got sick. I got nauseated. You know, and I wanted to throw up. And God delivered me of it right then, of the alcohol and the drugs.
Clarice, tell me what it was like when your husband told you for the first time what had happened to him.
Well, I got a call from him, and he was not able to call me, and he said, I want you to bring me a Bible. I said, a Bible? He said, yes. He said, I need to talk to you. And so I went down that weekend and took him a Bible, and he told me what happened. And I was just blown away. I just could not believe that's how it happened. I still hung on to that prophecy that I had. But it was, to me, at that time when I received it, it was so far out there that I didn't ever see how it could ever come to pass, because my husband would not speak to a Christian. He did not want to be around them, and he didn't go to church. I said, God, how are you going to save him? And he did. He did just what he said he would do. He had a divine visitation from God, and it miraculously just changed his life and mine as well.
Well, I mean, you were just getting by because you were doing most of the work in the restaurant, from what he told me. But it seems as though the floodgates of heaven opened over both of you, and you were blessed in everything you touched, especially in the business arena. What was going on?
It was as dry as it could be. And, all you know, when Ronnie got his head straight and we got our life together straight and we started going to church together and listening to the Word of God and getting hold of the Word where we need the tithe, and we started doing that. And a guy came to our church, I'll never forget this, and he told us, he says, you pray for God to give you ideas in business. And Ronnie caught a hold of that word, and he started praying for ideas. And he just started changing things in the restaurant, and it just started changing overnight. And it was wonderful, and it's been good ever since.
Now, according to my notes, it was better than wonderful. You had 2 yachts, 4 planes, an estate. Your business was doing wonderful. Clarice, you even opened up a boutique.
I did. We did that in 85. We built a shopping center, and I opened up a boutique, and God's blessed us there.
And everything is going so fantastic, Ronnie, but then I'm going to speed you forward a little bit to May 8th. 2000, what was going on in your life, Ronnie?
Well, I was at a restaurant. It was on Sunday night in the year 2000. I was at a restaurant, and we had closed. And I had started home, and my home's like 12 miles from the restaurant. My wife's in New York. She had gone on a buying trip for the clothing store. And I drove through an intersection, and I don't remember what happened. They told me, but this drunk driver was going like 80 miles per hour. He ran through a stop sign and hit me in the driver's door. It hit me with such force, it broke the seatbelt from the back of the seat and threw me through the passenger window. And the car rolled. It was the SUV, and it rolled over and stopped on its side, you know, right before it rolled over on top of me. My neck was broken. My leg was crushed.
It sounds to me like it was a miracle it didn't roll over on top of you, and that would have been the end of Ronnie.
Absolutely, it was. It was a miracle.
What stopped that car from rolling over on you?
Well, I've imagined that somehow the angel stopped it.
That's what I believe, too. Clarice, what did the doctor say when you found out about your husband? What chance did he have of surviving?
Well, at the beginning, he had a fairly good chance because they didn't know everything was wrong with him because, yes, he did have his neck was broken in two places, and he had all the damage to his stomach and liver and spleen and all of that. And his leg was broken in 15 places. But they thought that he would survive it. Then after 7 days of being in the hospital, Ronnie progressively got worse. And they said to me, you know, he got irrational. I would be talking to him, and he would make good sense, and then all of a sudden he would not make any sense. And finally, I just said, listen, there is something wrong. Somebody has got to do something. So it was Mother's Day Sunday morning, and I had dozed very early that morning, and I just woke up, and Ronnie is out of the bed with his halo on, and he is going home. And I knew something terribly was wrong, so I immediately called the nurse, and I said, you have got to get the doctor in here. Something is wrong. They wanted to tell me that Ronnie had brain damage, but I would not accept that. And they finally got a doctor there, and he came in. I said, somebody's got to do an MRI, a CAT scan or something. They finally did. They said, well, we've done that. But they finally did another one. And when they did, the doctor comes running down the hall. He says, we've got an emergency. We've got to operate on him right now. He has a crack in his intestines, and he is septic. His whole body is being poisoned, and he will not make it unless we do the surgery.
Listen, and the results were even worse after the surgery. You really need the book. So it's full story. But if you know someone fighting death or fighting an impossible situation, this is so encouraging. It's literally a manual on how to have your victory. It's available for a donation of $16. It's called Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.